Well, hello there, top teachers. We are your hosts, Michelle Emerson.
And Bridget Spackman, and we are here to make your life easier by helping you master your time, organization, and productivity as a teacher.
Let me know if any of these sound familiar to you. Procrastination. Decision avoidance. Impulsivity. Exhaustion. Brain fog. Irritability. Overwhelmed. Should I continue, or are we all on the same page here? This reminded me of the Office episode when Dwight is listing off the symptoms of marijuana use, and he's like yes, saying it to Kevin. Yes. He's like, let me know if any of this sounds familiar. Now, most likely, this probably sounds like you right now because it's that busy season for most of us. A lot of these signs mean you might be experiencing decision fatigue. So we are dedicating this episode to addressing decision fatigue with some easy strategies you can use to defog your brain.
But first, we're going to hear a TSH from Megan. Megan says, my TSH in teaching is definitely classroom management incentives. I am constantly having to change things up and try new things because it's not working for my students. I want non-monetary incentives, and my school does not allow any edible items. It's super frustrating because food is a wonderful motivator for my students who often don't have enough food at home. Plus, my class is so chatty.
Okay. So off the top of my head, some of my favorite free but also non-food related incentives include Stinky Feet Day. Yes. So that's where my students would get to take off their shoes in class. And who doesn't love to walk around in socks?
I mean, seriously.
Right. Pajama days, if that's allowed. I know one of the schools I taught at, we had like a consistent attire program, so it wasn't really always an option, but allowing them to wear a hat, allowing them to choose their seat for the day, allowing them to eat lunch in the cafeteria or in the
eating
in the cafeteria.
Right.
Yes, in the classroom. Allowing them to use like a special pen or marker for the day. You can even have a caddy of like special supplies that they get to utilize. Using the teacher chair for the day so they still sit in their normal seat.
I hated that one, I'm going to be honest.
Because they would jack your chair and you're like, what am I supposed to sit on? I know,
Worst. But they loved it.
They did. Those are just a couple that came to mind immediately. Do you have any other great ones?
Yeah. We would do a lot of like class things. Like we would do like board game times. Like we would do, I would give them time on their iPads or their Chromebooks, like 15 minutes of like game times if you just want to like chill, watch YouTube, like that kind of stuff. They really loved that. I had fancy pens, so they got to wear write with my erasable pens that I had, and they really enjoyed that one. Being able to invite a friend to like the lunch type situation, allowing them to invite people from other classrooms was always a fun one. If you can do extra recess as an incentive, that's always a really good one. But those were all ones that I did. Now, mine was a little bit different because I had it at a gumball machine. Michelle, do you remember my gumball machine?
I do. I do.
So I had a gumball machine and the kids would have to get 10 punches in their tickets. And so they each had a ticket that they would keep track of. And that ticket, they would get a punch if they did not like have a day where they didn't where they did not get a strike, because we had like a strike system. It was something that I had to do. I didn't really enjoy it because it was like they have to walk around the recess for every strike that they have. I hated it. But either way, I tried to build an incentive for them with it. So if they got all 10, they turned in their punch card, they got to go to the gumball machine. And so what's nice is that you never know what you're really going to get. So life is like a box of chocolates type of situation. But the kids always found it really exciting, but they could trade with people if they wanted to trade, which was nice. So we would have trading days.
Yeah, that's really fun. Another one that came to mind that I know I had some students who enjoyed was like reading to another class.
Yes.
Especially some of the younger classes, like they really enjoyed getting to go to like a kindergarten class and be able to read to them. And so just a couple of ideas. Hopefully
I also
that
did
resonated.
Magic School Bus or what were the guys? They were the ones who Mythbusters.
Because
it was on Discovery Education and I was like, we could watch Mythbusters. And so we had like some of those too in there.
And Bill Nye. Loved me some Bill Nye.
The science guy. I loved that.
All right, we're going to kick off this episode by just defining decision fatigue. And of course, if you go online and Google, you can find a bunch of definitions. But the one we are going to use for the sake of this episode is the idea that after making many decisions, your ability to make more and more decisions over the course of a day becomes worse. So essentially, the more decisions you make, your decision-making really declines. And if we look at why this happens, you can find a whole list of examples, but one thing that can cause this is you just make a lot of decisions, which this fits teachers to a T. You are constantly making decisions as a teacher. Another reason decision fatigue can happen is that your decisions impact other people, which again, also fits teachers because your decisions are all impacting your students, their families, your coworkers, and so on. Another reason this can happen is because you are faced with uncertainty or you're in the middle of like a difficult life situation. And that could be stuff going on in your personal life or within the classroom. If you've got new policies that are being adopted, or, you know, I think about the pandemic. I mean, that faced that, like, that was exactly what that describes. That can really lead to decision fatigue. And then the final one was you have perfectionist tendencies. And that's where it's almost like you overanalyze every decision and you want it to be perfect. And because of that, you're utilizing a lot of brain power, which can lead to decision fatigue faster. And I recently, I shared this on another episode, but just in case you haven't listened to that one, I heard on a podcast this revelation, I would say, about like perfectionism. The podcast host basically said, look, stop using like I'm a perfectionist as an excuse for not getting stuff done, because in reality, you are not a perfectionist in all aspects of your life. Like, I guarantee you there are aspects of your life that you are not a perfectionist about. Like, I'll call myself out on this. Like, I'm not a perfectionist when it comes to flossing my teeth. Like, should I floss every day? Yes. Do I? Absolutely not. And so rather than just picking and choosing the areas you want to be a perfectionist in, like, you have to ditch that all or nothing mentality.
Yeah. And as we get closer to the end of the year, this is definitely something I feel like we're all struggling with. So in this episode, we want to give you some simple but effective strategies for overcoming this decision fatigue.
So I'm going to kick us off with the first one, which is to eliminate choices. I recently came across this quote in a book that said, a wealth of information creates a poverty of attention. A lot of times we think we just need more information, more choices, more options. Mm-hmm. But the more options you have, the more indecision you actually create for yourself. And if you look at a lot of successful businesses, they will minimize the number of decisions you need to make because that leads to more purchases. So for example, with like Apple products, when the new iPhone comes out, it's like, here, you choose between the Pro and the Pro Max. You maybe have a couple of choices when it comes to the amount of storage, and that's it. Because the more decisions you have to make, the more you're just going to sit in those decisions and not make progress. So here are three different ways that you can kind of eliminate your choices. One option is to set time limits. So for example, you might say, all right, I need to find lesson ideas for this upcoming unit. I'm going to spend no more than 15 minutes looking for lesson ideas. And at the end of 15 minutes, you stop and you utilize those options only. Another way that you can eliminate choices is by setting option limits. So instead of a time limit, you're going to say, I'm going to find three resources to consider. So you're limiting the number of choices that you have. And then a final choice eliminator, and this doesn't work all the time, but if finances and like buying something is included, you can set financial thresholds. So maybe you want to do a STEM project or you're going to host some kind of a party. You might say, I'm not going to consider any materials over $10. And that way it really caps the number of options that you have and therefore will make it easier for you to make decisions. Along with that, you can utilize bulk decisions. So these are like templates or structures that you follow and then reuse in order to prevent future decisions. So if you have a lesson plan template or a slide template or lesson structures, like your math lessons always follow these same kind of steps and timeframes, it can make it easier to like pick and choose the things that just fit into those templates. And then you can make more decisions in less time. But you can also utilize this in your personal life as well. So the clothes that you wear, the breakfast that you eat, the lunches that you pack, if you have just a set number of go-to options, it will make it much easier. So like with clothes, y'all know I wear a lot of black, and it's just because it makes it easier for me to like make decisions when it comes to what I'm going to wear. I eat the same breakfast almost every single day. And then you don't have to eat the same thing every day, but if you have a template, so for example, for lunch, maybe it's like, all right, I'm going to have a sandwich, something crunchy, and something sweet. And that gives you a template to be able to follow. And then the final thing I want to put in here before we take a break is don't provoke deliberation before you can take action. So deliberation refers to the time we need to like consider each decision and ultimately come to a final decision. That consumes a lot of our attention. So wait until it's time. So for example, don't be sitting there stewing on like field trip decisions too far in advance, because you're wasting time and brain power when you're going to have to think about it again closer to the date based on, you know, what buses are available and the finances and all of that. So wait until that actual deliberation time to start thinking about it. Don't think about it too far in advance, but you can think on that while we take a quick break. And then when we come back, Bridget is going to share number two. If you are ready for your productivity to blossom this April, Bridget and I have three easy steps you can follow. Step one is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/014 to download our free classroom spring cleaning checklist that you can use to get your space tidied up so you can be as efficient as possible.
Step two is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/001 to download our free habit tracker, and then choose a new simple habit you can adopt this month to help you become your best self, such as ending each workday with a zero inbox or taking a walk outside to get some fresh air.
Finally, step three is to head to teachingonthedouble.com/store to grab our digital personal planner, which is ideal for organizing all aspects of your life, especially outside of the classroom. Every month has planning and reflection pages that will revolutionize your productivity without a doubt. I've been using them every month this year, and I feel like I've finally locked into a system that actually works for getting things done.
Again, those links are teachingonthedouble.com/014 for the free spring cleaning checklist, teachingonthedouble.com/001 for the free habit tracker, and teachingonthedouble.com/store for the digital personal planner. We promise you can complete these three steps in less than 5 minutes and allow your productivity to come into full bloom this spring. But for now, back to the episode. All right, we're back, and strategy number two is to work as a team and or delegate. There is truly power in numbers. When you have more of you that are working on the same projects or planning out activities, lessons, whatever it might be, then you have less decisions that you need to make, which is really nice, right? That's the ultimate goal here, people. So for the final months of the year, work together with the people around you and plan out incentives, lessons, activities, whatever it might end up being. If you like autonomy, which I don't blame you because I am definitely one of those people, and you don't really love planning with others, I'm really going to challenge you to get outside of your comfort zone and know that good enough is good enough during these overwhelming times. I am one of those people, and during the end of the year, when I am tired of making those decisions, I absolutely was working with my partner teachers and just saying, you know what, this activity is going to be fine. It's not going to like ruin the kids' education. Like, if I don't think it's perfect, you have to move past that, right? So just remember to take this from somebody like who feels like they have to have control in every little area and know that it's going to be okay. So when you can embrace being like Elsa and you can let things go, you can enjoy the time without having to make those decisions on every little thing that you're doing. So here's some simple tips. One, to let it go. Be like Elsa. I mean, seriously, you don't have to stress about all of the little things. But number two is to divvy out the work work with your partner teachers. Have everyone bring things to the table and sort through them as a team and decide which activities you want to be able to complete. Number three is to have students plan lessons or activities with you. One of my favorite activities that I started to do with my students was like the end of the year C theme. And I had them decorate for me. Like I wanted a whole room experience. And so they did a bulk of it. And then I was able to just finish it off. And that made what would have taken about a 4 to 5 hour classroom transformation end up being about an hour or two. So it saves me a ton of time. And the kids had a blast being able to come into the work that they had done together as a class. Have students plan out some of the rewards. So you're providing them that opportunity to say, hey, what do you want? Like, what are some of the things that you're willing to work for? Getting them involved is absolutely the best. And it's a one less decision that you're going to have to make because you're putting the ownership in their hands and they're going to be really excited to be able to work for that. Delegate work to students or others who are just willing to help. Like I always had kids who were fantastic and I could say, hey, can you organize this? Can you sort through these things? Can you do this? And they were willing to do it. Know that it's not going to be perfect. And I think that's almost like you having to look past like, okay, it's not exactly how I would have done it, but it's one less thing that I'm having to do during this really overwhelming time. Also, teacher husbands are the best. I'm just going to say it. Like they're willing to help out and do some of the things that you may not have time to do. And that's less decisions that you're having to make there.
Yeah. Teacher partners, just teacher partners as in the people that are yes. with like the significant the others. Yes. Truly deserve their own like awards because goodness knows they have to put up with so much. All right. Number three is going to piggyback off of the first one that I said, because I mentioned like bulk decision making. Number three is to batch your decision making. Once you get into the flow of making decisions, the process becomes easier. So if you can make multiple decisions at once, that can make the decision fatigue less likely to happen because you'll just kind of go from boom, 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 and then they're all done. Now, sometimes, here's the good news, one decision automatically helps you make another one, or it will like eliminate options from another one. Here's an example going back to field trips. Let's say you're trying to decide where you want to go on the field trip. You're also trying to look at bus companies and you feel very overwhelmed. Well, if you first choose the location of the field trip, that might eliminate certain bus companies that maybe don't travel there or don't travel that far away from school, whatever it is. So really hone in on what decision should be made first. And on a more week-to-week basis, because a lot of the decisions we have to make as teachers are like repetitive, set aside time either at the beginning of the new week or at the end of the prior week, whatever floats your boat, to make a lot of decisions for the week ahead. So get that to-do list and decide what day are you going to complete each task. And make sure you look at some of those later days in the week and figure out if there's decisions you need to make ahead of time. For example, if you decided you're going to make copies on Thursday, well, you can't make the copies if you don't have your lesson materials. So you're going to need to decide what activities you plan to use for those lessons no later than Thursday. And once you get into this process, it really just becomes a routine and you can go into autopilot and just kind of do those things that you've already decided because it's part of the routine. And that relieves so much stress because you know that the right things are getting done. You don't have to think about it. It's like, hey, if I just follow this routine, I'm good to go. I also will say this can help you avoid being forced to make a bad decision because you waited too long. Batching is going to allow you to be proactive and make decisions in advance. It's kind of like, I know personally, I've had times where I've gone to, let's say, the grocery store to get some new, like, kind of chip that's out because that's something that I do. Listen, y'all, you know I love my snacks. For example, HEB will come out with these like three different limited edition chip flavors. And if we wait too long to go to the store, there will only be like one left. I'm like, that's not even the one I wanted. Well, if I had been proactive and been there like when they first released, I would have had more choices. So if making a bad decision matters, then you might want to be proactive and get it done in advance. And a great way to do that is to batch. And if you want more information on batching, you can check out, it's an oldie but a goodie, episode 8 of the podcast. It's called Getting More Done Using One Simple Trick. that simple trick is batching. So we will have that linked for you in the show notes. But once you make those decisions, don't waste time going back to change it. Stick with it, see it out, and then you can always make changes in the future if it doesn't work out.
The final strategy that we have for you is boring is beautiful. Aww. Not everything has to be a hootenanny. I'm just going to say it. Take joy in planning simple activities for your students towards the end of the year, especially during this time when you have decision fatigue, right? Make a list of the options that you can have ahead of time. This way that when you start to feel as though you are just overwhelmed, you have something to fall back on and you're not going to be as stressed during that process. You can even sort these activities based on like what they're used for. So like, let's say you have outdoor activities, you can do chalk art, bubbles, class kickball game, extra recess. You can even have indoor activities, breakouts, board games, where they're like building like oral language and teamwork, which I love board games for that reason. Or maybe you're like reading to an older grade or a younger grade, whatever it might be. You can even do the same thing for instructional activities. Like, what are those activities that I can pull out over and over and over again? Once you have this list, pull from it to help you plan out your lessons. And you can use these same activities that you've planned all year long. What might be boring for you is something new and exciting for your students. So just because you feel like this is the thing that you're doing every single year doesn't mean that it's horrible. Your kids are experiencing it for the first time with you, so it's new for them. Do the same activities as the year before. There is no reason to try to reinvent the wheel and create more decision fatigue for yourself. You can even ask for family support in helping you to prep some materials and get things done ahead of time. Delegation is a wonderful tip to have, especially when there's decision fatigue.
So we really hope that these four different like tips, strategies, whatever you want to call them, were helpful for you and hopefully will help to eliminate some decision fatigue. Again, those four things were: number one, eliminate choices; number two, work as a team and delegate; number three, batch your decision making; and number four, boring is beautiful. If you did enjoy this website, oh my goodness, that's how you can tell that my brain is not working. Talk about defogging my brain. If you enjoyed this episode, head over to our website. There we go. Teachingonthedouble.com. You can submit your own time-sucking hurdle for the chance to be featured in a future episode and maybe even inspire an entire episode. You can also grab any of our digital planning products in our store. If you enjoyed listening to this and you want to hear more from us, go ahead and follow the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, click the little plus sign, whatever it looks like on the platform where you listen. That will help you get notified every time we drop a new episode on Thursday morning. And leave us a review, click the 5 stars, hopefully leave a couple of words of encouragement. We enjoy reading the reviews, but it also helps our podcast be able to get into the ears of so many more teachers. And until next time, be timely,
stay organized,
and be productive.
Bye-bye.
See ya.